Good evening, you're watching Stockwatch with myself, Nastasia Aronsa. Tackling your questions in studio tonight is Gerbrand Smith from NEFG Fund Management and Drikus Kombrink from CapriCraft. Don't forget to send through those questions to us via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch at bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Let's start off with you, Drikus. What did you make of today's market performance?
It started off poorly. Looked like I think we did turn positive around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Then the US markets opened quite positive, but we lost momentum during the latter part of the day. Mm-hmm. We had some encouraging economic data out of the US. Out of Europe. I think European PMI, French PMI came in above expectations. But later on, you know, all the focus and attention went to Jackson Hole and what the Fed minutes were with the previous meeting, and that took the breath away from the market.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think similarly. It's nothing new in these markets at the moment. So you get some little bit of upside and then some negative news from somewhere, either Trump or from a Draghi or somebody around the world. And yeah, we turn negative again. So yeah, lots of negativity around at the moment. We'll probably chat
and a lot of stock specific stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys are on Twitter or follow David Shapiro. He has this thing over the past couple of weeks where he'll say shock of the day, and he puts something out, and it seems to be the theme, as he called it, Durban poison, where you have Mr. Price, you have Aspen, you have Hewlett, and a whole host of stories that have come out of there. What did you make of Mr. Price today?
It got hammered. At one stage, it was down 15%. It went almost to only down 8%. Another bad story for the week. We had a few other ones over the last week. I think people are overreacting. These guys know how to manage their margin quite handsomely over time. It's a great company. Sitting at a 13p, which is probably relatively cheap. We know the SA economy is burning at the moment.
Yeah.
So there is reasons behind it. 60% of their business sales are down by 2% or 3%, and I think that was this big shock for the market.
Mm-hmm.
The apparel business normally holds up quite nicely in the market.
Yeah.
But I think that on the cell phones and on insurance and some of the other higher profit margin businesses, I think they'll probably make it up, and we'll have to wait for the trading statement. I think people are overreacting. It happened a year ago as well with them, and most of those damaged were recovered over the 6 months after that. So I would wait for the trading statement before I just react on just the sales updates. Sales updates are one thing.
Yeah.
There was no numbers on headline earnings per share, etc. So these guys normally do manage them well. Going forward, I like the share.
All right, do you share the same sentiments that we are slightly overreacting here?
I think Mr. Price came in below even what I would have expected. I think as a whole, SA Inc., especially the retailers, they've been defying gravity. We know the economy is in a very hard place. And what we have is PPI running about 2% above CPI, even more after yesterday's CPI print. So it's about a 2.5% difference.
Yeah.
Where does that PPI come from? It comes from overheads, like obviously labor input, then your electricity, obviously, and municipal fees, etc., administrative prices that are just pushing up overheads for especially the retailers, especially those with a lot of retail space and who owns those retail space. The one retailer that's outperforming by far at the moment is Spar, because they actually have a franchise model, and they do not they're not liable for the overheads, you know, at store level. So I think that's the general problem in SA. It's only now catching up with the retailers. It's been a manufacturing problem in SA for about 15 years.
Yeah.
So we've decimated our manufacturing ability, and it's now catching up to the retailers. But at the right price, people are still going to buy stuff. Even if the economy grows at 1%, maybe 1.5% going forward, if you don't see a complete collapse in the economy, you will see margins stabilize, and you will see these guys standing on a sure footing 6 months or a year from now. So these price declines might be an opportunity.
All right, we've got some questions trickling in. The first one says, it's from Joe. He says, where do you invest if the world goes into a recession? Do you go into gold, Bitcoin, or bonds? Who wants to take that one?
Yeah, look, I think that there's going to be pockets of value. There's always pockets of value, and you need to do your calculations correct. You might go down a bit more. We had a nice opportunity in 2015, second half, where we were buying resources and nobody wanted to own resources. I think you can have a similar story in SA Inc. at the moment. We're becoming seriously cheap. We had almost a bear market in 90% of our stocks over the last 2 years. The index is something different. You know, the weighting on Naspers and Richmond's just too large, so you don't see the negativity that the brunt of the shares has felt over the last 2 years. And then I think the UK would also have some nice chances of making some money in some of the UK shares as well. But normally gold and bullion do hold well if interest rates do get slashed. And it looks like that. The analysts are already pricing in 4 or 5 Fed movements downwards, where they, similar time last year, they were actually looking at 3 or 4 more up. So lots have changed. But I think it probably can skip a recession. That's our base case. I think the Fed's on the job, and I think the ECB will react as well. The big question is, when will inflation someday come into the system? Because we had interest rates at minus levels for quite some time and zero levels in most countries, first world, and we haven't seen any demand. So you need some optimism for that to happen.
All right, the next question says, property looks like a no-go. Which one should I short? Resilient, high prop, or growth point?
You've got a problem there with the short, and that's the cost of carry. So if you're short, you have to finance the high dividend at the moment, and a lot of those are about 10%. So then you have to finance a 10% shortfall, and you're only earning about, I'm guessing, 7% for retail client. For retail client, it will be less than 6% that you're earning on your short. Plus, you'd be liable for script fees as well. So maybe you are receiving less than 5% in your short to compensate you for the carry, and you need to pay 10% interest. So you would need that price to fall 5% per annum from here, which is it's a difficult short, to be honest. I won't be shorting any of those. It's just too expensive to carry that short.
I think avoid those is probably the right option. Yeah. Avoid property for going forward. I think all of those counters are going to struggle. We didn't like the Epcon deal, what Epcon did with some of the property companies. So I think you're going to see some rent divisions downwards, because most of these property companies now become competition for the likes of Mr. Price, Fushini, etc., because they're now shareholders in Edcon. So I think if I were Mr. Price or the Fushini Group, I would probably visit all these guys and say, listen, yeah, you're now my competition. Yeah. I want rent reductions over time. And then, yeah, you'll see that they've also paid out more in earnings and in dividends than what they earned over the last year or two, which is a very scary situation. So I would avoid them for sure if it's not worth holding for more than minus 5% per year. But I would avoid local property at the moment.
I think recession is going to be the theme for the show. The next question is from Mac. He says, what U.S. stocks would the panel recommend that is defensive for a recession in the U.S.?
We own a company called Enbridge. Enbridge is a midstream company. Midstream company transports oil and gas from the oil fields, gas fields, to the refineries, obviously. And they own the pipelines. They're like a property company. The big difference is these guys have multi-decade contracts. They are linked at inflation plus. And you can't put up another pipeline next to them. Environmental laws make it very difficult to open any new pipelines in the US or Canada at the moment. And so you've got a very strong competitive advantage there, very recession-proof. I think Enbridge is sitting at about a 6% forward dividend yield in an environment where interest rates might go down to zero if there's really a recession coming.
Is there a stock that you think is recession-proof?
Yeah, I think you need to look at the valuations of any company before you start buying them. And the scary part is that most of the expensive shares, they've just gotten too expensive against the cheap part of the market. Okay. Similar towards us is, I think 46% of the US companies are in bear markets as well over the last 2 years, and nobody has ever mentioned it. But there is some cheap shares in the US market. I think some of the utilities, I think some of those bridge and so forth.
Some of the defensive companies are actually cheap
because they pay high dividends, cheap P's and multiples, etc. I personally would stay away from all these high-tech, expensive stocks. Mm-hmm. We had similar situations. It's actually now more expensive than what they were in 98 when we had the dot-com bubble. And the Schiller P as well. The U.S. is like the second most expensive it's ever been. So I would certainly get less exposure to the U.S. and probably more to some of the more risky emerging assets, but they're cheap at the moment.
Okay, the next question is, what is the panel's view on Blue Label?
Okay, difficult one. I think the normal business are quite fine. Everybody is seriously worrying about the Cell C transaction that they've done. They've housed it in two specific vehicles. Cell C, we know, had lots of headwinds. They were unable to pay MTN as well a week or two back when MTN released their results. Mm. So I think Cell C is certainly in some spot of bother at the moment, and that is depicted in the Blue share price at the moment. I think the other assets should be okay, but you never know how much of a write-down the Cell C business are going to have on the income statement.
Yeah, so the problem is that that's a balance sheet problem. They need to show up the balance sheet with a very deep price issue. Yeah. The problem is the anchor shareholder, the strategic shareholder Blue, going to do that, because it's the risk are kind of ring fenced. They can let Blue fail, and I think they can let Cell C fail, and Blue would actually see a rise in their share price. So I'm not too sure if that's going to happen, but there is a valuable asset in Cell C, and that's called Spectrum. They own Spectrum, and they have struck a deal with MTN. And that's worth cash flow going forward. Yeah. Just having the license is worth a lot in this country. So it's worth saving them. What's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know if the corporate players involved as the appetite to do what they need to do.
All right, we're going to take a quick ad break, and then when we come back, we will discuss Afrimat and the Rand. People want to know whether it's worth taking your money offshore, given that the markets are quite skittish at this point. All of this and more is coming up after the break. Welcome back. Taking a look at the markets picture, starting off with things in the U.S. So the S&P 500 marginally up about 0.1%, but we did see Fed members signal that a September rate cut is not certain. Looking at things in Europe, European stocks closed lower amid recession fears and investors waiting for Fed clarity. Still with me in studio are Gebrand Smith from NEFG Fund Management and Drikke Skombrink from Capricraft. So I mentioned before we went to an ad break that there was a question about the Rand. Paul says that he's got some Rands and he's wondering whether it makes sense to take all of it offshore given that the markets are quite skittish.
You never do all of it with any of your money. So that's all I have to say about that. Now, if you haven't got any offshore exposure yet, doesn't matter what the currency is at the moment, you should have some offshore exposure. Mm. Not only because there's political risk here and et cetera, but because there is just a vast amount of opportunity out there. There's industries offshore that obviously isn't here. Those companies that are disrupting, that have disrupted, and some of them will continue to disrupt the global landscape, you won't find here. The only one is Naspers, and that's been holding up our bulls quite nicely. And that's the only way to find more of those companies is to move offshore. Or you can just take your chances with Naspers, which will run out of growth sooner or later. So it's just from a risk perspective, it's better to move money offshore and from opportunity perspective, but not all of it.
Do you share the same thoughts? I understand not all of it. That makes perfect sense.
I think you need some diversification in your portfolio. So you need some offshore holdings. Would I take my rands over at above 15 rand to the dollar? I don't think at the moment. Mm-hmm. I'll probably wait for a better opportunity. A lot of negativity is priced in at the moment. I think we've priced in downgrades and we've priced in lots of negativity in SA, in our banking stocks, in the bond market, etc. If the rest of the world's going to lower interest rates, our bonds look very attractive. We should be able to get our bond yields lower than where they're now. And it's always interesting to see how many opportunities there were in some countries when it was burning, like Greece in 2012. If you bought some of those bonds, you actually made like 900% in the previous, the next 3 or 4 years or after that. The same with Brasilia. So I think it's a nice opportunity in SA at the moment. Yeah. So I think your biggest opportunity is actually lying under our noses and everybody's taking money offshore. But if you don't have anything, I would certainly look at it.
All right. The next question is from Matthews, and he says, does the panel have a view on Afrimat on a 3-year period?
Yeah, these days they've done an iron ore transaction. So you're paying for quarries, which is very well managed, about a 15 or a 14 PE multiple over the last 3 years. So we thought it's a bit expensive. Mm-hmm. But then they've done the iron ore deal, and they've done it at a decent price when iron ore prices were at bottom ranges. Mm-hmm. They've now reacting more almost towards iron ore futures in the morning than what they do on the local quarrying businesses and construction businesses. So your risk here is what's going to happen with iron ore prices. I'm still scared of iron ore prices going forward. I think there was a few instances of where Vale and BHP Billiton had a few dams breaking. So there was a bit of shortage in demand, once-off factors. If all those things come back online, there's going to be an excess supply of iron ore. So I would be a bit afraid on these levels, but I think it's one of the darlings on the local market. I think Andries has done a very good job on
one managing. One of the best management teams in the country. Yeah.
So I rate them and so forth. I just think you're paying a bit too much for a quarry business and an iron ore business at the moment.
Absolutely.
That's all. But I like the company,
problem
I like management.
With iron ore prices, go look at the copper price, which is also industrial related. Yeah. That's that it's at 5-year lows.
You saw coal as well.
Coal is at 5-year lows. Coal is actually very related to, you know, that you have to use in a lot of the same processes that you use iron ore, you know, to construct, manufacture steel, etc. So coal price low, that's saying something. So it's a supply issue that has caused a rally in iron ore since the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And watch what the Baltic Dry Index, you know, the shipping for dry freight has done in the last few weeks. That has shot up to 5-year highs. Yeah. That says they are scrambling ships to get the renewed iron ore from Western Australia, Northwestern Australia, that has come online again, and from Vale's supply in Brazil have come online again. So as that, you know, price spiked, you could see the iron ore price come down at the same time. And as long as you know, they rectify the supply, I can only see iron ore drifting lower here because the marginal cost of production for iron ores is closer to $60 and still sitting at 90.
Mm. All right, the next question. I'm worried about small and medium caps. I've taken a 14% on a small and mid cap fund over the last 6 months. Do I exit?
That's a bit late now. That's the small and mid. It's deep value at the moment.
Yeah.
But some of those companies, if our economy deteriorates, some of the mid and small caps will face existential crisis. They are much less protected than a large cap with a strong balance sheet and a diversified portfolio of businesses. But a lot of the small caps, there are some niches that are actually good businesses. They've gone through tough times, as of most businesses. I think the market has just realized that the large caps aren't immune to that fairly recently. Mm-hmm. And I think that the performance between small and mid caps and the larger caps may converge over the next 2 to 3 years, even if it means that the large caps, you know, get sold off to get to the
similar
prices or same valuation levels. Yeah. But I think this, you know, in the last year, that's the cheapest that the small cap sector has been relative to large caps since about 2002.
The problem is it can still get cheaper.
Yeah.
The previous time, absolutely, it actually still, I haven't looked at that graph for about a month, but when I looked, the last time I've looked at that specific graph, they were down 33% relatively against the larger caps.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but the previous time when it turned, they were down like 60%. So it can get cheaper, but that is where most of the value in the local market are at the moment. It might take more time than what the large caps will do actually to make handsome profits out of it. But I won't sell my shares where they're now. But you must have a long-term
and a big reason not to sell now is that a lot of small and medium caps have been taken off the market at a very hefty premium in the last year or two. Udeco was one of them. Pioneer Foods is a great example. There is a lot of companies, a lot of small caps are buying back shares at the moment, which is excellent. I'm thinking about Trellidor, for instance. They're buying aggressively, buying back shares. There's more. I'm going to reach here. But a large portion, more than a tenth of small caps at the moment have cautionaries out.
Yeah.
So they might get taken over. That is a large amount. 10% of a whole sector, of a whole portion of the market has cautionaries out.
Mm.
That has to say something. These businesses are cheap enough that you can fund them with debt in our market and buy them off the market.
Okay.
Take them off the market.
The next question is on ShopRite, and the viewer wants to know, do you believe that things will get better from now on?
Yeah, look, if I looked at those numbers, we were actually surprised that they were knocked down another 10% or 15%. They were already knocked down. It just shows you that quality can get cheaper as well. And you probably pay too much for it at a 20 or a 25p a few years back. I think at a 13p, it should do 9 rand in the next 12 months, if we look at our calculations. The whole of Africa has actually done minus 200 and something million rand for them. I think that can recover as well. If you look at the latest numbers that they brought out over the last, from year end until now, it's already looking better. I think sales growth of more than 3%. The last 2 weeks, sales growth were already at 6.9%.
Yeah.
So I think that a little bit of an interest rate that we already saw is already helping some of the lower end of the market.
We might see another interest rate reduction with the CPI figures coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And lower fuel prices at the moment.
Remember, they had everything wrong in the first half of the year. Their second half was actually 5% better than the previous year. And I think people are not looking at the relative halves or something of the business, because the second half is actually better than the previous one.
Yeah.
They had warehouse problems, they had SAP problems, they had a strike problem, they had hyperinflation in Angola. They had lots of problems over the first half, less so in the second half. I think you're probably going to have a much better second half next year, and that will bolster people's expectations of the business.
But Africa will still be an albatross around the next over the short to medium term. Yeah.
And it's funny, 5 years back, everybody wanted to pile into Africa.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's a buy.
All right, let's move on to stock picks. Let's start off with you, Drikus.
Wells Fargo. They had some regulatory issues quite recently.
Yeah.
The Federal Reserve limits the amount that they can lend out at the moment, or at the speed at which they can grow. That forces them to be very efficient capital allocators. They've changed the incentive structure, which has led to the regulatory problems.
Yeah.
I think it's some great changes. We're in good company there. Warren Buffett is also a shareholder, and it's sitting at about a 6% dividend yield, and they're buying back. The last year they've bought about back 10% of the market cap, because they can't really grow their lending book at the moment. They're prohibited to. So I think that actually returns a lot of wealth to the shareholders in a different form. And the bank back shares at a sub-10 PE ratio. Obviously, the banks are very cheap at the moment worldwide. European banks seems like they're failing, so they're pulling down the valuations of banks everywhere. And in the US, you've got the inverted yield curve, which is not great for US bank margins. But if they cut interest short-term rates, then the curve will steepen again, a bull steepener, and that will actually be positive for the banks.
All right, Shabra.
Yeah, I've picked Zambezi Press as well. I think the previous time I were on the show about a month ago. So it's at the right price, around 71, 72 rand a share, where you can pick it up now. You get inflation, you get prime plus 3.25% if I'm correct. So you're getting 13.25% on a platter in a difficult market. You got another optionality here. The only risk here is that Northam must survive with the current platinum, palladium and the PGM basket price and where the currency is now. Northam is making more than enough money to bolster their new projects and so forth. And I think you got one nice optionality here, and I think Northam is probably going to buy out these shares over time. They need to make an offer someday for these shares. It's costing them lots of money, more than what the cost of capital is at the moment. When they've done this deal, cost of capital in the platinum industry were very high because they were struggling and their balance sheets were all blowing up. It's a different scenario now. It's now expensive. I think they should buy these guys out while you wait. You're earning 13.25 on a platter.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Let's leave it there. Thanks to my guest, Gebran Smit from NEFG Fund Management and Rikus Kombrink from Capricraft. We take more of your stock-related questions next week. Just a quick heads up, don't forget to tune in on Monday at 8:30 a.m. rather, as we'll be broadcasting live from the BioAfrica Convention and bringing you discussions around biotechnology's potential in Africa. Have a good evening. Let's move on to stock picks. Let's start off with you, Drikus.
Wells Fargo. They had some regulatory issues quite recently.
Yeah.
The Federal Reserve limits the amount that they can lend out at the moment, or at the speed at which they can grow. That forces them to be very efficient capital allocators. They've changed the incentive structure, which has led to the regulatory problems. Mm. I think it's some great changes. We're in good company there. Warren Buffett is also a shareholder, and it's sitting at about a 6% dividend yield, and they're buying back. The last year they've bought about 10% of the market cap. Because they can't really grow their lending book at the moment, they're prohibited to. So I think that actually returns a lot of wealth to the shareholders in a different form, and they're buying back shares at a sub-10 PE ratio. Obviously, the banks are very cheap at the moment worldwide. European banks seems like they're failing, so they're pulling down the valuations of banks everywhere. And in the US, you've got the inverted yield curve, which is not great for US bank margins. But if they cut interest short-term rates, then the curve will steepen again, a bull steepener, and that will actually be positive for the banks.
All right, Shabra.
Yeah, I've picked Zambezi Press as well. I think the previous time I were on the show about a month ago. So it's at the right price, around 71, 72 rand a share, where you can pick it up now. You get inflation, you get prime plus 3.25% if I'm correct. So you're getting 13.25% on a platter in a difficult market. You got another optionality here. The only risk here is that Northam must survive with the current platinum, palladium and the PGM basket price and where the currency is now. Northam is making more than enough money to bolster their new projects and so forth. And I think you got one nice optionality here, and I think Northam is probably going to buy out these shares over time. They need to make an offer someday for these shares. It's costing them lots of money, more than what the cost of capital is at the moment. When they've done this deal, cost of capital in the platinum industry were very high because they were struggling and their balance sheets were all blowing up. It's a different scenario now. It's now expensive. I think they should buy these guys out while you wait. You're earning 13.25 on a platter.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Let's leave it there. Thanks to my guests, Gerbrand Smit from NEFG Fund Management and Rikus Kombrink from Capricraft. We take more of your stock-related questions next week. Just a quick heads up, don't forget to tune in on Monday at 8:30 a.m. rather, as we'll be broadcasting live from the BioAfrica Convention and bringing you discussions around biotechnology's potential in Africa. Have a good evening. I'm gonna go get some more.